Please join me in prayer. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I want to thank Linda McGarry for decorating our sanctuary this morning with the flags from different countries around the world in honor of the International Day of Peace, which many people observed last Monday. With all the turmoil in Syria and the Middle East and many other parts of the world, we need to come together with all different people throughout the world to pray and to work for peace. Many of us Protestant Christians have been following the Pope's activities and speeches this week with delight. He has been careful to speak not just to Catholics, but to people of all backgrounds of faith and non-faith. And on Friday, he called together hundreds of religious leaders from the world's religions, from all the world's religions, to pray for peace at the National September 11 Memorial. The moderator and executive of the Presbytery of New York City were also invited. Darn, I wish I had been invited. I guess I moderated the wrong presbytery at the wrong time, but I'm happy to have retired from that job. It's not a simple matter to get people of different religions to pray together. I remember years ago at our Leonia Clergy Association, the rabbi from the Sons of Israel Synagogue rebuked us for wanting to pray together in a meeting. She believed it was helpful to meet and talk together, but she didn't see any common ground for praying. No one argued with her. We just stopped praying together. One of the bishops who helped organize Friday's service admitted that praying with people of different faiths is a sensitive matter. How do you pray with others in a way that respects individual religious identity? He explained it this way: we're not actually praying together, but we're being in the presence of the other praying with great respect and great appreciation for the other. I would call that praying together. But whatever you call it, it was an extraordinary event. This was not the first time a pope met with religious leaders from other faith traditions, but past popes focused on questions of doctrine rather than trying to make friends and identify shared goals. At the memorial, Pope Francis said, "For all our differences and disagreements, we can live in a world of peace. In opposing every attempt to create a rigid uniformity, we can and must build based on respect for diversity of language, culture, and religion, and lift our voices against everything that would stand in the way of such unity." In other words, stop trying to make everyone the same and respect our differences. That's the beginning of peace. And it sounds a lot like what Jesus was trying to do in the story Venge read from Mark this morning. The disciples were complaining to Jesus because someone they did not know was using Jesus' name to cast out demons. They tried to stop him because he wasn't part of their group. But Jesus answered, "Don't stop him. Whoever is not against us is for us." Whoever is not against us is for us. Now, Jesus did say just the opposite of that in another gospel. In Matthew, he said, "Whoever is not with me is against me." But in Matthew, it was a totally different context. The religious leaders had been arguing with Jesus over everything they could think of. They deliberately told lies about him, accusing Jesus of using power from the devil. So Jesus called them on it and challenged their lies. "Those who knowingly disregard or twist the truth are against Jesus." In fact, he said they were blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. And there are people in this world today who do disregard the truth, bullies who will do anything to get their own way. But for people of goodwill, for those who want to do good, Jesus said, "Whoever is not against us is for us." We are to celebrate any contributions people make to God's kingdom. And then Jesus went on to talk about how to avoid hell, one of my favorite topics. Many religious leaders back then believed faith was about keeping the rules, avoiding temptation and sin, and avoiding punishment from God. And they were so serious about it that they separated themselves from others and condemned those who didn't believe and behave the same as they did. It sounds a lot like a lot of religious people today, whether they are Christian, Muslim, or Jewish. But for Jesus, God's kingdom was about generosity, grace, and love. And to make the point, he offered two scenarios. On the one hand, if anyone offered even a cup of cold water to someone who does God's work, he or she would be rewarded in heaven. But then he went on to say, if any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. The first scenario is about being generous, recognizing a need, and offering a small act of kindness, a cup of water. The second scenario is about avoiding punishment or hell, and you do that by eliminating any and all temptation to sin. Whatever causes temptation to sin, whether it be a hand or a foot or an eye, you just cut it off, get rid of it. Now, of course, we're not supposed to take either of these scenarios literally. One cup of water saves you. One sin condemns you to hell. But Jesus offered these ridiculous scenarios to show us that it's useless to try to be right and avoid punishment. According to Jesus, those who seek to be right end up crippled and blind. But it doesn't take much to support the work of God with generosity. No miracles needed, no jumping through fire, just a cup of water. That's it. Which do you choose? Being right or being generous? Or as another pastor put it, should we hack away at what's sinful or offer water to a world thirsty for healing, for grace, for generosity? The answer should be obvious, but not everyone gets it. I read an article yesterday about a gathering of people in South Carolina who are angry and anxious about refugees settling in their small town. Did anyone see it? It was on the front page of the Times. They say that they're afraid of Muslim extremists who they are sure will disrupt their way of life, even though most of the 32 people who have already been placed in the area are Christian and not even Syrian. Still, one woman said, "We are not a Muslim nation and we cannot coexist with Muslims." Another man questioned whether the refugees could be sent back to their home country. And when he was told that they could not, he became frustrated and asked, "So, do we shoot them?" And the people responded with laughter and applause. That's one reaction: fear and distrust and rejection of people who are different, even families of the same religion who are in desperate need. But others in South Carolina, including pastors and church members, are responding with generosity and grace, welcoming newcomers into their communities, offering a cup of water, a sign of welcome, a helping hand. Differences do not have to be bad. People who are new and different often add energy and color to our lives and our neighborhoods. Our church has been enriched by people from different language and culture groups. And later in the service, Michael and Barbara, or Barbara, I believe, just Barbara, will give a minute for mission about the refugee crisis in Europe. How will we respond as a nation? How will we respond as a church? How will we respond as individuals? What is the cup of water we can offer to these little ones who hunger and thirst for a safe place to rest their weary heads? Chapter 9 of Mark ends with Jesus saying, "Be at peace with one another." Peace starts by respecting differences and resisting the pressure to make all people be the same. We know that well here. This is a diverse congregation. We have at least 10 different nationalities represented here, and we are diverse theologically. There are people here who are not sure about choosing Jesus, who are not against Jesus, but are not quite ready to be for him and his ways either. And that's okay. As Jesus said, whoever is not against us is for us. Every little contribution to God's kingdom matters, no matter where it comes from. Even non-religious gestures of support, like offering a cup of water to a thirsty person, shows which side you're on. And if you do a good deed in Jesus' name, you will not lose your reward. So may we be at peace as a community and unite with people of goodwill throughout the world to work for God's kingdom with compassion, generosity, and love. In the name of Jesus, amen.